Hello and welcome to the 10th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by St George's duo Chris Bash Jr. and Furrow Davies. Chaps, welcome to Podcast HQ. Furrow, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Chris, welcome for the first time.
Thanks for having me.
You've been saying you've been waiting for the invite, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, we're delighted you could be able to make it, especially because you brought some treats in for us, haven't you?
This is a first for us, isn't it?
I think Richie Brandt brought some in when he was the testimonial man.
Of course. Yeah, but they weren't tea cakes, though, were they?
And then Simon, when we went to the FA, the confectionery drawer was flipping empty when we were there. But yes, Chris, you've been very kind. You brought in some Tunnocks tea cakes.
Towards Christmas, so I thought I'd bring you a gift.
It's very good.
Tea cakes are luxury, aren't they?
My caramel.
Oh, and Furrow's caramel. But yeah, see, this is it. Unbelievable. After you were, I bought some fingers, so I've already opened them. We'll start on them.
Thank you.
What do we think, lads? Do we think these are biscuits?
Yeah.
It does say it on the front of the packet. Well, we've got an Instagram debate going on as we speak, and there's quite a few people saying no.
No, I think biscuit.
The majority of that is biscuit.
Yeah,
that's what it's
a biscuit.
They're good
dunkers
too.
Yeah, I've just seen Chris gone straight in for the dunk. What are you saying, Dan?
I think it's a biscuit as well. And what's he dunking it into, by the way?
Oh, he's got the Agent Rashid mug. It's nearly a year old now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've still got to find the other one, though.
Yeah, someone's
had it. If I'd known you had that, I would have requested it anyway.
We'll wait for Rashid to give us some more merchandise.
Yeah, well, we've got some questions from him a bit later on in our Twitter section. But before we digress with that, we've got you in, of course, because it's the most magical time of the year, isn't it, Dave?
Yes,
it's the it's back office services Railway Cup semi final weekend. It's fantastic, and it looks, well, although I look out the window now, it's actually hammering down. It's like there is going to be some semi final action on Saturday.
Well, yes,
usually a bit delayed, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the weather's looking okay for the weekend as well. I won't spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
That's it.
They read the weather a bit later on.
Yeah, but two massive clashes. I can't wait.
Yeah, tasty looking is how I described them, I think, in the paper today. Lads, you're obviously at the bowl. You take on St Mary's. Chris, what's the mood in the camp? Looking forward to it? Up for it?
Well, it's going to be safe. It's definitely going to be on.
Yeah, yours is going to be on.
So. Yeah. Yes, we are. We're up for it, yeah. I think after the other week, we're disappointed we didn't win. We had an opportunity to win that game. And from the position we were in, 1-0 up, the chances that we missed, we should have won. On reflection, St Mary's, obviously people will have watched the game and said, in fairness, they should have won the game as well. But I think we feel we're not far away at all.
No.
And coming up to this game on Saturday, that loss gives us an extra incentive to go down there and just have a really good go. And we are confident of winning, aren't we?
I wouldn't even say that we're far off. I think we're quite very close, if not better, in terms of that first half. We're playing a lot better football, I think. I think it's more mentally that we're just not.
It seems to be a bit of a confidence thing, because we have lost a few players, and this year we aren't putting games to bed, like Furrow said. We're getting in front. We're just not finishing teams off.
Yeah.
It's strange because I was at the St Mary's game and the Peel game last month as well. Both you were winning 1-0 at half time.
Yeah, exactly.
You thought, looking comfortable, it's looking good. But it's just that the Peel game was a crazy 6-minute spell where it just went a bit mad. But it's St Mary's.
And I think a lot of the things that have been happening is that one or two people, because we're quite thin in depth, one or two people go off injured or they get injured and then it just changes the shape. And then that's usually in the second half and then we're trying to fix it from there.
We've had bad luck in them two games in terms of injuries at the times of the games as well. When you look at our squad now, we can't afford to have anybody missing for them big games. And to have Sam go off at the time he did in that Peel game, we were 1-0 Peel, we're putting pressure on, but I felt like we were always sort of in control of that game. I did think we could hit them on the break. Sam went off, the shape of the team changed, and that 9-minute spell, whatever it was just...
Yeah.
I've never been involved in that before for St George, being on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And then St Mary's, we lost Sean in the middle of the first half.
And it was a freak incident as well, wasn't it?
A freak incident. You could blame Sean and the goalkeeper. It was their own fault for miscommunication. But again, having Sean having to go off, it just changed the balance of the team again. So we can't afford that sort of luck in terms of injuries. And in them two games, we've had that.
You mentioned you only played them a couple of weeks ago, and you've played them twice now already this season. You've had that, both league fixtures have gone ahead on time, which is a bit of a miracle as well. Have you learned things from them games? Is there areas you think, they're weak in this part or in that? Or
don't give free kicks away around the edge of the box.
Yeah.
You know it's all too well, don't we?
Yeah,
Don't give free kicks away. I think mostly because it's the games that I've, when we've played them, I felt like they're so even and they're highly contested. So it is those little inches and taking the chances.
It's finely balanced, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, which is good. It's just, yeah, I think concentration levels need to be throughout the game. Whereas a season ago, we would have scored the goals and then kind of been able to kind of cruise, but now it's a lot more balanced.
They are finely balanced, and both teams are really well matched. And I felt in the first game, I wasn't playing myself, but watching, we took our chance, went 1-0 up, had other chances to go again 2-0 up, maybe 3-0 up, and then in the end, probably could have and should have lost. And we're lucky to come away with a draw, but yeah, I still feel like we should have won on the basis of our first half display. And again, the other week is exactly the same. If you don't take the chances when they come, and I held my hand up, I fully believe we'd have won that game last week. And if I'd have took, I mean, that's the worst miss of my career, but if we'd have done it, I feel like we'd have won.
I had chances as well, so these things happen.
I think people tend to forget, though, this season, how many young players you've got in the side.
Yeah.
You know, you look at some of those players that come through, it's a learning curve for them. I mean, they've been some of the, you know, they've performed brilliantly.
Yeah.
I mean, Jay Skelton Maxwell, Joel Ibanez, Lewis Brightson have all caught the eye. But there's any number of them, aren't they?
Yeah, outstanding.
Mali's
stepped
up. Yeah, Mali as well. He was an unknown, wasn't he, before the start of the season. We seen him rarely at training last year, and he played for the Combi and stuff. But this year he's been mad keen. He's coming training every week, working hard, and he's playing. And when he gets his chance, he's doing okay. I thought he played well when he came on against St Mary's the other week. And he started the first game up front against St Mary's.
He set me up against all the boys as well, which was a big goal.
But to have them young lads, with the players we've lost, to have them come through has been a massive plus. We wouldn't be in the position we are now without them lads. And you have to, like, watching them, I haven't seen a player this year as good as Jay.
Yeah.
We see him consistently every single week.
Yeah.
We've played against good players, and at times when you play against Peel and you've got like Reece Oates and Lee Gale, when they're in full flight, hard to stop. But consistently, I know we don't see the other players every week, but Jay, as far as I'm concerned, has been the best one I've seen this year.
Are you surprised at how well you've done considering what happened in the summer? You know, you're in the Railway Cup semi-final, you're sitting in fourth in the league, you're well in the title mix.
I'm not surprised, no. I don't think, I felt like at the start of the season, if we all were in it together, that we'd be kind of where we were.
It would be
a lot more balanced. So I didn't expect us to be like completely.
No.
We knew that the young players had to step up. And luckily they have, so yeah.
It's not a major surprise. We knew it was going to be tough, and we knew that them lads had to grow up a little bit because they played last year quite a lot, like Sir Jay, Joel, Rydell, they played a lot last year, but they weren't quite there in terms of the commitment and what it takes to win in them big games. And we probably still haven't won. The two that we won, Old Boys and Russian, were tough games and we had to work really hard, but the teams above us we haven't beaten yet. But we've had to come back from Corinthians 3-1 down, and for them lads to be involved in them games, it's good for them.
Steep learning.
And it shows them what it takes in them sorts of games and what character you have to have, and they've come to the fore now and shown us that they've got it.
It is the character, isn't it?
Yeah.
The character Jay is showing is
they wouldn't go in for tackles last year. There was tackles, and I know that we played Corinthians in the semi-finals last year on the FA Cup, and they got a bit of a dressing down at the end because the winning goal came from a break on the edge of Corinthians' box where we could have won a tackle, and it was one of the younger lads didn't win the tackle, they broke and they scored, and they got a bit of a dressing down at the end of the game because that's a tackle you should win, and this year they're the tackles they are winning.
Well,
so they're learning all the time.
Yeah, if you look back to your goal for against Peel last month, Joel made that tackle, the 50-50 on the edge of the box.
Exactly what didn't happen last year.
Yeah, and played it to Jay, and Jay played the through ball to you.
Exactly.
Chris, let's go back to the summer. Your dad stepped down in June, came as a shock to me, probably not to you guys. I think you sort of murmured a little bit about it, didn't he? Were you then surprised when he came back?
Yes.
Was it about 6 weeks later or something?
Yes and no, because although I'm close with him, I didn't speak to him about it that much. It's his decision. He's been doing it a long time. It takes a lot of commitment to do what he's done over the years. So when he decided, between himself and Lee, they decided that they were going to go at the same time, I wasn't surprised. But I did feel like they probably could have hung on a little bit more, and not a lot of people know this, we were very, very close to getting a massive player from a big team, from one of our biggest rivals, had they not have resigned when
right,
they did.
Right.
And they did resign, and then it looked as if we were just going to fall apart. And I think we were stuck in terms of, we didn't really have anyone that we could bring in.
But it's going to be, when that moment does come, and he does hang up his hat. it's going to be, whoever comes into that job is going to have a hell of a job.
We keep comparing it to Ferguson and stuff. We didn't have anyone. No one stepped up. I think a lot of people were looking to Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny Myers. And so, because we knew he was going to take over a bit of the coaching, a bit more involved in coaching at training sessions, and we thought, well, he's always been keen in telling everybody how he's going to be a manager, and he's going to be a future Isle of Man manager. So it was a bit like, is he going to step up? But I think he wanted to still play. He knows he can still give something to the team. So we were stuck, and there's no one else to do it. And my dad really didn't want to see us left like that. And he knows that we've got a good group of players coming through. If they want to work hard and put stuff in, then why not? I think it excited him a little bit to see these younger players coming through.
Is this bad news for your mum then? Can we see him bringing this next generation?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I think it all depends on this season and what we've got at the end of the season. Where do them younger lads, are they going to leave the island? Are they going to stay on the island and stuff? I don't know. It is a little bit disjointed still in terms of we can't get players to train because they're carrying knocks. You don't recover as quick. So the older lads...
Yeah, it's an aging team.
So it's an aging team that is so disjointed where you pick up a knock, you can't train during the week. So the numbers in training are down. They started off really well and now they start to dwindle again. And that does bring the morale down a little bit. But it's them younger lads that are kind of now the driving force of the team and bringing everyone else on. If they continue to do that, I don't see why he won't stay on.
Changing the guard, I think that's what you'd put. Let's talk about the season as a whole. You know, it's been great for us looking in because there's about five, six teams that are throwing their weight around at the top of that end of the table. It's the most open we've had for a long time, isn't it? But what's it like playing in it? You've gone from it being a St George's team that's dominated for over a decade now to one where we keep saying it every week on the podcast. You could potentially lose three or four games this season and still be champion, couldn't you?
It's hard to say because you still want to win. But at the same time, it is good to be in games that are a lot more challenging. When you're 1-0 up and you're thinking, it's 1-1 and you're still having to fight to win that game, it is a bit more exciting and you feel like you need to put a bit more in than in comparison to just winning or knowing, because there was always that feeling within the camp. And I guess with the other teams as well, we're playing St George's, St George's is going to win. So it is good for Manx football. It isn't nice to lose.
we wouldn't care if we were winning every single week. Because we want to win all the time. Yeah. So.
But if you won something this year, would it mean possibly a bit more than you've done it in the past?
Yeah, definitely. The league is the one that everybody wants to win. Mm. That's the most important one. Before anything else, you want to win the league.
Because it's over 24 games.
And we've given ourselves a massive challenge.
22 this season. Yeah.
There's another half a season to go, but we've given ourselves a massive challenge. And if we were to win it this year, it'd be our best one ever.
Aside from yourselves, who do you think is going to be like the main challenger up there? Is it Peel? Obviously, they're the form team at the moment. Or, I don't know.
I think, personally, from seeing all the teams, I think Peel are the strongest, mostly in depth and the players that they've got. It's throughout the team. Mm. I think Mary's, it's new to them as well. So they're kind of, they're playing well, but it's from a few players and they've not as strong a team as Peel. But Corinthians will always be there.
We talk about Rushing, the sign of Dan Hatter, depending on how long he sticks around. I watched him last week against St John's, it was 6-0, could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
For me, they were playing about six strikers.
That's only more goals than the other team.
Ozzy Ardiles against Tottenham. But they could throw a spanner in the works, couldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Chris? If you'd have asked me before the start of the season, I'd have said Peel.
Mm.
Definitely, with the squad they've got, and picking up likes of Reese was a great sign for Peel. He's brilliant. And that come out of nowhere for me. I didn't hear any rumours at all, and he all of a sudden he's playing for Peel, and I thought, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for him as
very
well.
Very good for him. And like you say, he has come on leaps and bounds, and he's been, when he played against us, he's impressive. I've seen him play against St Mary's, and I thought he was good.
Yeah.
He brings a different sort of dimension to their game altogether.
He's a proper playmaker, isn't he?
Yeah.
St Mary's, obviously strong. The players they've picked up. ourselves, we lost like, not only Jack, Frank, we lost Joe Quayle, who was our best player last season.
Julian Ringham.
We lost Julian, who's, you know, people don't massive. Talk about. It's massive.
Andy's favourite player ever.
After Chris.
And everybody's favourite player.
Yeah.
And Andy Perry, we lost really close to the season. We picked up a good goalkeeper, Glenn.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've lost them. And you can't replace them players. There's no player on the island that does what Frank does. There's no player on the island that does what Jack does. Joe was starting to progress all the time. To progress all the time. We couldn't replace them players. So we always knew we were going to be a little bit further behind, but still close.
Yeah. And we've still got some very experienced and big players.
Yeah. And also, don't forget, we've lost Callum. Callum's played one or two games this year, and the impact he made when he came on against Corinthians turned the game around for us. We managed to get a draw from 3-1 down.
Hmm.
So we've lost Callum. We haven't had him for ages, and he's wanting to come back. But every time he comes, he just seems to break down again.
He's swanning off to Miami.
Yeah. Corinthians, always going to be strong. I think they were a few people's favourites this year, but for some reason they just haven't carried that form through. But I think they'll get better as the season goes on.
I think this season is going to show more than ever how good your team was, because the consistency is what we talk about and what you had, the ability to grind results out week after week.
Yeah.
You've named four or five teams there. Look, on paper, great squads, but it's turning that into results week after week after week after season after season after season.
Coming in, I quickly found it was the mindset that the coaches and the players that they had. Mm-hmm. It was just they had a way and they stuck to it, and that was the mindset of winning every single game.
One thing someone said to me, I think it was Frank when he first, it wasn't long after he signed. We won so many games, so many trophies, and he said to me, do you know what? Do you know the games that you remember is the ones you lose? Because they come rare to us, but they're the ones that are more memorable, because nobody wants to lose, and we're like winners.
Yeah.
Like Fio said, it was a mentality. Even in training, you don't want to lose in training. But we seem to, somewhere down the line, that seems to have gone a little bit because outside influences, injuries and things, and it's so hard to maintain that. But the consistency is the main thing.
It's so long as well, though.
You've got all these other teams, and this year, you could well lose four games and still win the league.
Yeah, massively. I think as well, the sign of when you were at your peak was when, if you missed out on a Grand Slam, that was then seen as a season of disappointment.
Yeah.
You won three trophies, probably lost one game in the league, and then won maybe in one of the knockout competitions, but that was a disappointing season. That I don't think it'll ever be repeated again.
No, I don't.
I don't think you'll get that core of players' commitment to the time and effort which you guys did over such an extended period of time. But
it'll be hard. It'll be hard for anyone to repeat that.
It's
not to say no one won't ever do it. You can do it if the teams put the effort in. If they start with a young enough squad.
I think it's more about buying into the project, though. You guys were close as friend, and you bought into what your dad was trying to do.
Yeah.
I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, for you, it's probably got more as a teacher. Kids don't have that staying power, the attention pans not there.
No, definitely not.
If you don't start winning games, things within a couple of seasons, they'll be off to somewhere else, won't they?
You have to have the drive from the management as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we found. We were a good group of players, young lads. We were always promising. But you have to have someone that's going to bring that out.
Yeah.
And we had that in my dad, and we had Paul O'Brien and Lee and other people that have been involved. And you just have to have someone that drags it out of you. It's okay being good players and being committed, but you've got to have that determination and will to win all the time. And you need someone at the top to be able to bring that out of you.
Do you think further down the line you'll go into coaching, be the manager?
Yeah, but not yet. I still want to play. I want to play for as long as I can, but there were injuries and work and things like that.
Still,
you can't commit as much as I used to.
We were talking at the work at this. See, Johnny's now moved into veterans football. He's got
all the goals. There's talk of a team next year. There is big talk, yeah, because likes of Julian.
But you need a keeper, Cabassi. I'm 35 in Feb, you know.
It's funny because we've mentioned it, and a lot of players from outside have decided, yeah, well, if you're doing it, I'll come, but I don't want to chase after you.
Right, let's go on to the Twitter questions. So talking about goalkeepers, first one's from Matty Quirk, Douglas Athletic goalkeeper, and of course Isle of Man FA, stopping out. It's for you, Bassey. He says, who's the better fireman, you or Barry Harding? He says, Baz says all he does is drink tea and play table tennis. Is that true?
I can well believe that. I don't know, I've not been down there before, but it's an easy question, yeah. I'm definitely the
better. Right, next question's in from Hattie. This is for you. Well, both of you. Yeah. So, what has been the highlight of your Ireland representative career? Fur, I'll start with you.
I guess that's quite easy. And the game against Liverpool when we were, I can't remember.
The unbelievable game. That was. Yeah. We're coming up for the anniversary. Yeah. We'll have to get the.
Those, yeah. Yeah, coming on and scoring a hat trick, and then going through. I've only played a few games for the Ireland, so yeah, that was definitely it.
Yeah.
I can't think of one top of my head. It's a hard question, that really. We've had some great times. The most memorable one isn't probably the most important one, but it was the game down the bowl where we won 5-3 against Liverpool.
That was one. We had some cracking games. Yeah, really have.
And the way that tournament snowballed
literally.
From being in that tournament, we were behind in the two previous games at half time, and then to be 3-0 behind at half time. Mm-hmm. And I've watched it so many times, and it was 3-0, and Max Thomas made an amazing save not long after half time, which would have made it 4, and all of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and we won 5-3, but we've had some good. I've enjoyed all the tournaments we've been in, all the Ireland games. My first Ireland games in Guernsey, we lost in the final to Guernsey, and that was probably one of my favourite trips with the Ireland team. I loved it. I love all the Umbro tournaments, they're brilliant. So it's hard to pick one memorable one, but obviously, through the UEFA regions and representing England, then the trip to Czech Republic and Slovakia, they were good times as well.
Played a lot of football, Chris. Hattie also asked, he says, well, we've touched on it before, how good the crop of youngsters are. I mean, you've said they are pretty, you know, they're onions, shall we say. But he says, can they emulate what Georgies have done in the past?
No reason why not. If they stick together, this is what I'm saying before, about where, are they going to leave the island? Are they going to seek other options in America? Or we've got one lad at the moment, Sid, who's playing for Mineskow in Lancaster. Mm-hmm. And
he was, his dad John texted me this week, he's in Lancashire schoolboys captain last week.
And at the moment,
with
I spoke to him about this weekend, and he's actually in the last round of the trials for the England schools.
Right.
Selection squad, which I played in.
Yeah, I was going to say. I played
in that, and I sent him a picture of the cap that I got. I got represented the ESFA cap, and it's just like a proper England cap if you were to play. It's brilliant, and it's something that if you have the chance, you've got to go for it and experience that. It's great.
So that was when you were at Cirencester.
Yeah, and that just shows how good he is.
Yeah,
to play at that sort of standard. So. He's already gone. Joe Quayle's gone to America. We've lost Adam Long to Wigan. And if you've got these options, you take them. Mm. But going back to the question whether they're going to stick together, if they do, they're definitely good enough. I remember watching them as an under-16s, under-14s team. And that's the best team I've ever seen at that age group. Not individually, but as a team, the best team I've ever seen.
There's some younger players, so even younger than these lot, who I've seen at training who've been doing some amazing things, like Wasser, I don't know what's his real name.
Ben Wasser. He played last year, then he came
back. Ben, he's starting to play in the combi, and it is unfortunate that they have to wait till they're 16. Yeah.
It's a talking point we've had, isn't it?
Yeah, because especially when we had the Kim and Alexander in talking about women's football, they said they have a massive drop off at 14 to 16 because there's no junior. Yeah. A league for them at that age group, and she played at 14. She was saying, you know, they should be in at 14. Now, I think, as Simon said, it's a safeguarding issue. It's about the changing facilities because they're underage, they can't change with adults, which is, I presume, something you're versed in at school.
Even if it was a female,
yeah, I think that was what they were saying. So, I think that's the thing, but
it's disappointing because. I was 14, and I was as small as they come, but I could play, and all the other lads, John,
Dan,
Sean,
when we had him in the other week, Dan Hurley, he was playing, if you look at it, they were playing 3 games a weekend,
mostly. And I understand the health and safety of it, and the regulations, the insurance and purposes and stuff, but there is a massive drop off of players, and we've got some really good lads at 15, and because they can't play, they're not now training with the senior lads, they come very rarely now, they start to come quite regularly, but they stop coming because they're not playing at the weekends.
Could you maybe see an argument that combi football's allowed? You could maybe play at 14.
I don't know. I think if you can play combi, you can play first team, because some of these lads are good enough. And I don't know whether one of my questions to someone was, if they had parental consent, could they not play at 15?
Yeah.
For insurance, it's a parental consent form to say my son or my daughter is... I feel it's good enough and I'm happy for them to play in senior football. Does that not cover the insurance? I don't know. But it would be something to put forward to the powers that be. Because they're missing out.
Yeah, massively. And it's all about trying to keep people
engaged. You grow up and you learn. I mean, for me, when I was 14, I had to grow up massively. And I did. I was getting kicked lumps out of me. And, you know, now it doesn't bother me. But they have to learn that side of it. I really do think that. And I think the best players that have ambitions of going across need to have that side of their game. Because sometimes I see the lads that live on the Isle of Man a little bit softer than the ones in the UK. You have to be street savvy over there and you have to be strong mentally to get, because there's so many players to choose from over there. Yeah. So if you've got ambitions of being a footballer, you have to have that other side of you. You have to have a little bit of nastiness about you and toughness, and they have to learn that.
Yeah, it's the old adage, isn't it? If you're good enough, you're old enough. Yeah. Speaking of the young proteges at Geordie's, next question's in from Lewis Bradson. Firu, why do you always get out-muscled by me at training? And what could you do to get close to my physicality so you can cope?
Well, first and foremost, he should know that he should call me sir. We know the land, the fairyland that Brideson lives on. It is entertaining at training and in the change room. But I don't know why he seems to think that he can out-muscle me.
There can't be many, to be honest, Spiro, that can't.
I don't know if it's muscle, but... I don't know what I can do, to be honest.
Just have a word with him when you go back to school.
A few detentions for an
He's got another question in for you, Chris. What could you do to make your left foot technicalities as good as mine?
That's the dreamland we're talking
about. I think he's seen that chance I missed at St. Mary's and thought that my left foot's definitely better than that. He lives in his own little world, Brian, bless him. Yeah, he's a good lad, but funny enough, I didn't want to tell anyone this. He has been coming to me at training saying, can you show me how to lift the ball off the ground with the left foot? if he's asking them sorts of questions, I can't keep that one in.
Yeah, he's going to get it backwards, isn't he? Yeah. So.
Right, Johnny Myers, the man, the myth, the legend. He says, when away on Isle of Man trips, who were your best and worst roommates and why? So we'll start with you, Farouk.
I'd say my best one would be Pekka, strike partner, Strikers Union. And we got on very well, chilled out. And I don't know, I looked at that question and I don't know how you could answer the worst one.
Is it Johnny?
Luckily not. I haven't had to spend time with him.
I have.
I bet you do, but no, just, Pekka's been the best.
Okay, Chris?
I would say the best one, and I'm not saying because he asked the question, would be Johnny, because most people know me as being late for everything. I am always late and I'm always getting fined for things. But when I'm with Johnny, he's up at half six in the morning. As soon as you get half six. And I remember when I've roomed with him, you have to get up. If he's up, you have to get up. He's dragged me out. I remember being in Whitley Bay once, and I roomed with him in Whitley Bay. It was like Fawlty Towers, this little B&B. Half six in the morning. He's had me up, short and t-shirts, November, freezing cold, northeast of England. We're walking down the shop, I'm short and t-shirt, flip-flops. I'm like, Johnny, he's like, wake you up, it's good for you. Yeah. Newspaper, at least you'll be on time for breakfast, and you're waiting an hour for people to come for breakfast. So for me, he was good for me, because I was never late.
It sounds like the best and the worst.
That's the other aspect.
Brilliant. Question from Chris Clark for you, Bassie. When are you and Amy coming to visit? I'm broke coming home all the time.
He's not broke, let me tell you.
No, Chris is coaching in America, isn't he?
He's got a really good job. He's done really well for himself, and that's something else other people might look at if they go to America. But he's now working as a youth recruitment officer for the New England Revolution. So he works at the Gillette Stadium every day.
Fantastic.
So he's done really well for himself. But yeah, in terms of going over to see him, I can't afford to go and see him. We've got two kids now, so there's no chance. But he's coming back in March, I think, hopefully. So
let's get him in for a podcast.
No, he's coming back in March, so definitely.
We'll try and get him in, because I saw him the other day. He was listening to the podcast on his way to futsal.
He loves it. He always listens to the podcast. When I went to see him last time, he got me listening to 5 live podcasts.
Yeah.
And when I come back, I was listening to them all the time.
It's universal, isn't it, this podcast?
Yeah.
Where's the furthest place?
To be honest, we get some in Japan, but I think they may be bots. Sean Kelly went traveling, we were hoping it was him, but he's never confirmed or denied.
We definitely know Conor Doyle's listening in Dubai.
Yeah, we always get one listening in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
Obviously, Liam, we think listens America. In America as
we
well.
We hope anyway, yeah.
But it's a bit weird, because when you're in here, you don't know who's listening. You think about three people do. But then when you get the figures in, you think, well, that's a bit odd. Yeah. That's more than Mum and Dad in St. John's, isn't it?
Ash Webb still listens in Australia.
Ash having a good season in Australia.
I follow Ash, yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. He was always going to. He's a great player.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's a disappointment when you lose people like that off the island. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's doing really well out in Australia.
So Chris also asks, which I think is a cracking question. You've had some career with many trophies, game winning goals, etc. But what would be your career highlight?
I'd probably go back to the early stages, just after I'd left school, where I'd gone through colleges and to play for the England schools, get represented by the England schools, because everybody knew me on the Isle of Man.
Mm.
But going away and being in a college, and you just kind of, you're unknown. And you're sent to trials, so it's a completely different network of people. And for them to judge you being good enough to play for the under-18s England schools of a squad of only 18, so if you're one of the top 18 players, for me that was a great achievement for people to think that of me. British colleges as well, and then also to play for Oldham just for the year. And I always feel like I let myself down a little bit, Oldham. I didn't do what I set out to do. I didn't work as hard as I should have done. But to play for them three teams was a big highlight. And the Isle of Man, I'd say, the first Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Because we tried so hard.
Yeah.
And we had so many opportunities. The one where we lost against Douglas Rose in Hospital Cup, you could never foresee
James
that.
James McStay,
you know, and he always reminded us of it. And he said every time we come back to St. George, he said, I'm come to save the club, I'm the saviour. the first Grand Slam for us, I think.
What I was going to ask you, if you say, you know, we took you back to your 16, 17, but put you now, do you think there would have been more chance of you maybe making it professionally? There's more opportunities maybe now?
Yeah, I was offered, when I played England schools, I was offered to go to America.
Mm-hmm.
I was, when we travelled to North Carolina and we played North and South Carolina in like little friendly warm-up games for our tournaments, they said, put your name down for any scouts that are watching. If you're interested, I never did because I just didn't. It was unheard of. I didn't think I wanted to go out there. But someone still sent me an offer of a scholarship in New York. I didn't take it up because I looked at the season they had, the schedules. July you start training and the season finishes in November. You play like 3 games a week. But little did I know, from now I know from the likes of Liam, Connor, Jack, Al, they all gone out there. You still play after Christmas, and I thought I don't want to be in college without playing football after Christmas until, you know, you come home for the summer. So that was an opportunity. But yeah, looking back and what I go back to before when I was saying about having that mental toughness and that little bit of fight, if I had the time again, I wouldn't be so nice. You know, you have to have a different side to your game completely. I remember when I was on trial with Stockport with Johnny and Steve Priestnell. Johnny got taken for his scholarship, his YTS, because he tackled their hardest, biggest player.
No surprise.
And he smashed into him, and he come out of the tackle, the other side with the ball, just got up and just carried on playing. And I think from that minute, the coaches thought, we're having him.
Yeah.
Because it was their biggest, toughest player.
But do you not think now is a different mindset with players, because you're with the likes of Messi and, you know, someone similar to your build.
I still think you have to be extra special.
Do you think?
I still think, especially in England.
Yeah.
Unless you're at a top level club, I still think if you were to go low levels, like say Adam Long at Wigan, you see the physique in him.
Yeah.
16, 17.
Man-child.
Yeah. He's got a chance because of the size, just pure size. They'll always look at that first, I think, lower leagues.
Yeah.
Unless you're extra special. The one lad that I've got massive hopes for is Dean Pennington at Wolves.
Yeah.
He come training with us when he was 14, 13 or 14, and technically is the best I've ever seen over a year.
Wow.
He was so good. Yeah. Left foot, skills, tricks and skills. But he lived up by me, and I used to see him out all the time on his own. When we first started training at Ben Mahaig on the AstroTurf, there was just one little kid by himself all the time. It'd be 7, 8 o'clock at night, floodlights. He's there by himself, just smashing balls in the goal. Who's that? Then I realised who it was, and he's just developed himself by watching videos. His dad's not a massive football fan, and he's special. And hopefully, he kind of pushes himself to be a top player, because he's got a chance. When you talk about players that are going to make it from the island, I think he'll be definitely one.
Did you see he featured...
BBC article,
yeah. I was going to say, Dave, he featured in a BBC article the other week. They were talking about how they...
stay type
thing. Yeah, they put kids in homestay, because the Wolves have kids coming from all over the country, and how they house them, and it was all about how how foster families, as it affects. And Dean was on one of the pitches, wasn't he?
In a family of about five other kids.
It's hard. I mean, I know his dad struggled with having to think of maybe had to uproot the whole family to go and give him a chance, but when you see the clubs doing things like that, and you go and meet the people that they're going to be staying with,
it takes character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does take a lot of character. He's 14. I think he was 14, 15 when he first left, and you're out of your comfort zone, and you do have to grow up a lot.
I think Adam went through that when we've had him in for the podcast. He was saying that was a bit of a culture shock for him, and it is massive, because you think if you weren't a footballer, you probably wouldn't move off Ireland until you're 18, until you went to university. So that's another 2 years. In those two years, you learn a lot about yourself, don't you? Yeah, 17.
Just being on the island is such a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Massive. And playing in the island team over the years, if we were to be playing off island regular, you'd have so many players taken by clubs, and they'd be getting paid for this, that, and all sorts of money. And you'd have professionals. If people didn't live here and lived on the mainland, they'd be professional footballers easily.
It's an advantage and a disadvantage at the same time, because we get these opportunities to play for the Isle of Isle of Man and go and play these things, and then even the Isle of Man type thing.
Yeah.
Even the Isle of Man schools type thing. So I went to California.
Mm.
Those kind of opportunities you wouldn't necessarily get those in the UK.
No. Yeah.
But then at the same time it's hard to get. See.
Gives with one hand, takes with the other. Yeah. Right, now to end with the last Twitter question. It's probably Twitter favourite, isn't it?
Agent Rashid, yeah. So. Question for you, Chris. just how many extra roasties do you get than Nick?
did you see on Twitter this morning?
No.
I think it was in reply to the question about when what was your career highlight? And I think Nick put something like, obviously when I denied him the Grand Slam, the old boys...
He lives off that.
What happened there?
Did you not see it?
No.
Nick had the game of his life.
Played it right back, didn't he? Now I was playing against them. Old boys beat us. We were 3-0 down, weren't we? Within
the infamous Flair Cup final.
Yeah. What did it finish? 3-1?
Something like that.
But Nick had the game of his life playing it right back, marking me. Yeah.
Robbie Ward free kick, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, I think he did get more roasties than me that week. Just because my mum was happy, my dad was fuming. It was happy that Nick had won something. So he got a few more roasties, but I had to trade him. I'm the only one in the family that likes sprouts.
Really?
So I got more roasties, but he wasn't having them unless I got his sprouts. And they used to always just shuffle the sprouts off the plate onto mine, so I always give them the extra roasties that I had.
All the dynamics of the Batty House. Yeah.
Insight to Christmas Day there, isn't it?
Adrian Machine had another question in. So we touched on it slightly earlier, but to both of you, do you think you'd have been as good as you are this season if it wasn't for seniors staying on?
I don't think so. No, I think with his experience, he brings, and it's a continuation. Even though there have been players that have gone, it is a continuation of what we were doing before. So certainly not. I guess I feel like Lee Dixon's a bit of a big miss in the change room, because he was the one that sorted Bassey out, basically. he came with the tactical side of things, yeah. And Bassey just sorted us out, I guess, mentally. So yeah.
Does he work well with Johnny Myers? How's that sort of?
Johnny's more of a player nowadays, and helps with sorting out the kit. I'm joking. sorting out
They work all right together. Yeah, they speak often during the week now, because he's the go-to man. Johnny, can you help out with training and do this, that? Yeah. Johnny's took it on really well. The sessions that Johnny's taken have been good.
Yeah, definitely.
But no, I don't think we'd have been as good this year without him. Like I say, with the young lads coming through, it gave him a bit more enthusiasm, I think he's seen, and he's took on a few coaching sessions himself and just gone back to what he used to do when he was a player, and they've been fun.
Yeah.
He's thought about running the legs off us like he used to do all the time, but you can't, like you alluded to before, you can't do it with the new kids now. You just can't do it. They'll lose interest so quickly, not come back. So he took on a lot of sessions and just done stuff that he used to do when he was training when he was younger.
We've always got fun sessions. Crossbar challenge at the end of the
session. And he started off with a Tekkers challenge at the end of every session. He had a Tekkers challenge, and he would bring a bottle of Lucozade to every session. He stopped doing that now. Whoever won the challenge got a bottle of Lucozade, and everybody stayed right to the very end of training for the Tekkers challenge. Pepe used to win a fair bit, didn't he?
Yeah, I won it once or twice, but I was annoyed it was just a normal orange. It wasn't an orange one, it was just one of those originals.
Yeah, he likes the original ones, the fizzy ones.
You're not telling me he's been stockpiling the ones that used to come in a cellophane wrapper, is he?
Yeah. we've got
to talk about his hat, though. Now, this has become quite a legendary...
One hat, he's got a full box of them.
Yeah, but he tends to swap them around depending on the season, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's something now, he's never up without a hat.
He looks ridiculous. And we've told him that for so many years, but it's his cup final hat.
Yeah. Will it be on Saturday for the semi, or?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. It's down the bowl. He might, for the experience, put it on, but I don't know.
You've got to get a selfie, mate.
I don't know. I mean, I seen a picture of him the other day on Facebook, and he had the full tracksuit on with a George's pants, a George's t-shirt, his trainers on. Then he had this trilby hat and I thought, what is he doing? But he's got a full box of them. I remember when we played in the cup final down at Castletown years ago, we beat Laxey.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And unfortunately, I think they didn't understand what it was about. I think they took offence, so it was all wearing the hats at the end. We won the final, and in the photograph we all had these hats on. I think a few people from Laxey took offence thinking we were taking the mickey, but it wasn't. It was a mickey take of my dad. He had this massive box full of hats. So we thought, if we win the final, we're all going to wear them, because that was around the time when he first started wearing them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where it's come from, but it seems to stick.
When they build the statue up at Glen Country Road, we'll have the hat on.
Definitely have the hat on, yeah.
He'll probably build it
himself, yeah. And if he doesn't, he'll be very
disappointed. Maybe make it out of a privet. A bit of topiary.
You'll have to get Nick in to cut the hedges. Nick's better at the hedges.
That's because he gets more roasties.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Right, let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures then. Starting off with the back office services Railway Cup semi-finals. We've talked about it already. St Mary St George's, the game I'm going to. The later kickoff. They've staggered the kickoffs kind of.
Half two.
Are they both at the ball?
No, they're the first ones at the Peel. We'll talk about that in a second. But yes, St Mary St George's. I can't call a winner in this one, David, and it's not just because you two guys are here. Obviously, the Doyle wedding, the aftermath, seems to may have a bearing on who gets his back for this one. We think Frank, by the look of his Instagram, is still in Mexico, so it's going to be a bit of a hike for him to
hopefully
get back.
Hopefully he's enjoying that holiday.
Yeah. He's out there. But Alex and Jack, we think, possibly are back. Mm-hmm. Again, this is all off Instagram stories, so this information. But
stalking.
But yeah, stalking, yeah. But they're combis, to be fair. I've won 13 out of 13, so there is a bit of strength and depth there, isn't there, whoever they put out.
It's not just Jack and Frank that they signed this year, is it? They signed with Declan and Aidan Cummins and...
Josh
from Russian's a good sign, and Craig from Russian's a good sign.
Budgie seems to be having a good spell at the moment.
So it's not just them two. So we know whichever St Mary's team we're going to face is going to be a tough game, and they're going to be a good side. You'd want if we were to play and we were to beat them, we'd want to beat them with their strongest side, because I really believe we can. But obviously, you can only play what's in front of you, and I think that they will have a strong side, whatever.
How's your team looking? Are you missing anyone in particular? Or?
Hopefully Sam's recovered. I think Sean's He's always up for it, regardless of injuries.
Yeah,
but
Sean's played with broken toes.
I just nearly ran him over the terrace yesterday. He looked quite sprightly as he got out of the way of the car. So yeah, he looks pretty. He should be fit.
Yeah, I think Sam is the only one maybe that's touch and go. Sean will play, mm-hmm. like Vio says, regardless. Yeah. Glenn's fit to play. Glenn was diagnosed with medial ligament injuries and given 4 to 6 weeks recovery.
Right.
But yeah, he's seeing our physio, Ian Kelly, and he said he's fit to play. So obviously Callum, don't know what's happened with Callum.
He just said that he's all right for selection, I think. But
really? Yeah, well, he's travelling back today, so
he hasn't been able to train consistently for a long time.
He's some player come off the bench, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
As you said, against Corinthians, he made the difference, didn't he?
Yeah, with the squad we've got now, and if he's available, you have to have him. Yeah. Even just the presence.
Mm.
If you're bringing him on, the other team will sort of, they'll have to have a rethink.
Mm.
You bring on a completely different type of player. Yeah. Someone's going to do damage. So,
do you think this could go extra time?
Possibly.
Mm. As they say, you've played twice and there's only been one goal between you, pair of it.
Possibly, yeah. But I think we'll win on Saturday.
Yeah.
Confident. Dave, going to let you put your punditry neck on the line?
Yeah, like the guys said, I think it's going to be really close. I think it probably will go extra time. I haven't seen that game a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there wasn't really much to separate you two. I think extra time. I reckon Jordy's listening.
Have you been practicing penalties?
I'm not allowed to
take them anymore. Not after the last week.
Absolute shocking decision that Bassey made. Maxwell.
Well, if you two aren't taking them, we're running down the list here, aren't we?
Jay's on them and he took a very good one. Was it?
Yeah.
But if it goes
maybe Brian will take one with his left foot.
Yeah.
If he can chip it off the ground.
If he can get off the ground.
Yeah.
To the earlier kickoff, 1:15 at Sunset City. Peel take on Corinthians. Peel probably go into this just as favourites because of the run they're on at the moment. I think they've won 9 or 10 on the bounce.
Yeah, they're absolutely flying.
They haven't since Russian beat them in September, I think, or so October. So yeah, they go into this as favourite. Corinthians, they're just struggling to get into that top gear, aren't they? The clutch isn't quite fully down. They drew against St John's the other week, which is massive.
A shock, wasn't it?
Massive.
But saying that, we almost did.
Yeah.
If we didn't, if it wasn't for Furo, we'd have drawn 1-0. Mm. Last kick of the game, wasn't it?
Mm. Oh yeah.
Last kick of the game, and they give us a really good game, St John's.
They seem to be, well, they weren't at the races last week, but they were unlucky because they lost Sam Ingham. He's a massive player for them to injury in the first half. And then Paul Whitehead, their burly target man, went off in the second half with an injury, which meant they finished the game with 10, basically, because they're struggling for numbers. But that's a young team as well, isn't it? We'll talk about them a bit in a minute. But Corinthians Peel, I'm going to ask you, are we going for a Peel win? Is it that straightforward, or can Corinthians, that attacking trio of Sean Doyle, Steve Whitley and Dan Simpson, are they going to trouble anyone, aren't they?
You've got to keep them quiet.
Yeah.
You have to keep them quiet, because if you don't, they'll cause you problems.
I think what tips it for me is that it's Dan at Peel.
I
think they'll win that one.
I think Peel will win, but with Corinthians, you just never know.
I was at that game, and I have to say, it's been a while since I've seen a team go to Peel and play Peel off the park like they did in the first half.
Yeah.
Corinthians were really good, but fair play to Peel, they battled back in the second half. Reese was their star man, but I think Peel just might edge this one.
We're saying Peel maybe after extra time?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right. There's three games in the Canada Life Premier League on Saturday, starting with the Moran versus St John's, the old Mushroom Cup. Do they still play for this one?
I hope so.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be wheeled out at the end in the Crosby after with the
monkey brains.
With the monkey brains.
Yeah.
Moran have had a frustrating few weeks, haven't they? Obviously, we talk about Herbicide Gate, which unfolded last week. As a former landscape gardener, Chris, we need your expert opinion on this. Herbicide, what is it for a kickoff?
Just a weed killer, is it?
No, that's pesticide. Herbicide's when it grows, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Oh, Chris!
It's a quick question.
Yeah. We've got the wrong bass in.
Come back to me in 5 minutes. I think my dad. I don't know.
But those of you don't know, it was Castletown Round last week.
I was a bricklayer.
It was meant to be Castletown Round last week. Castletown called off the game quite late on because they treated the pitch with herbicide. It was pesticide, was what the rumour, but we've heard from the horse's mouth, so to speak, it was herbicide.
Yeah.
And they said it needs 5 days to soak in. And like whatever the
excuse that
you went to agricultural college, Bassey.
I've played football.
I've
been a football scholarship.
So that was called off. So Moran were livid, to say the least, by the tweets.
Yes.
The ball was available, but obviously that wasn't used. Again, I think Castellan may have rejected that opportunity, which is their right as a home team.
Was it good timing for Castle Town to do the pitch?
I don't know.
You know you've got a game coming up and you know how long it takes.
Well, they thought the game was going to be called off because they had two people away with the RMNFA squad. Right. 18s, but
the rules are three isn't it?
Exactly. So I think there's been a series of
unfortunate events.
It's a big game, that one, isn't it?
But so when that gets played, because both of the games, the times that Valley played have been postponed, even the game at Moran was postponed because of a waterlogged pitch. So Moran, chomping at the bit, really should be for this game against St John's. We've talked about it on the St John's getting back to their old solid self, but took a bit of hammering last week.
It'd be interesting to see if Sam's back.
Yeah, his hip flexor.
I don't think he is. I've seen Sam this week, actually, and I think he is struggling. He said he's going to be a while with that injury.
He said it's something, I think he's had it when he was younger, as he hobbled past me. Yeah.
It's a big miss for St John's.
He's massive. Him and Nick Long are massively influential, and especially they've got so many young players around them. Their voice. I have to say, bright side spot for me was Stewie Morrison was playing last week, and he looked in an unusual central midfield role. Didn't look out of place. Johnny Holland, I think, had something wrong with his nose last week, so he wasn't playing. So
he missed the game against us as well, Johnny Holland. Yeah. They missed a few, and when we managed to scrape through, they missed a few players still. So I was impressed with the young lad, Dean played the midfield.
Yeah, at least Dean did look good. He looked good last week, actually, in the first half, before Russian run away with it. But this is a big game for them at St John's, but Moran, because they're both at that lower end of the table, aren't they?
Yeah, Moran, they're just out of the relegation zone on goal difference at the moment. St John's have pulled a little bit clearer over recent weeks. They were sort of embroiled in the relegation battle for a while, weren't they? But I think they'll probably just about start as favourites. But as you said, Moran are going to be so fired up for this.
And it's the Rothwell derby, lest we forget. Joey versus Harry. Could go either way.
So I'm going to say Moran to sneak it.
Does that come down to who has the most roasters?
It does, yeah. I've heard Joey likes his sprouts. So. Lads, I could think this could be a draw. It's a very tight pitch down there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I think, if St John's have their full team and they've got Sanding in there, I think they'll be too good and they'll win. But
Chris?
Could be close.
I think Moran.
Ash Higgin?
Yeah, I think Moran. I think they'll
former Geordie's youngster. Of
yeah,
course.
He was. I had a word with him in the summer as well about coming back. He was staying loyal. He stayed loyal to Moran. But yeah, I think them. When they played, I was impressed with the goalkeeper Harry.
Yeah, how good.
And they missed. 16, they missed him. Did they play last week?
No, it was because of this game that was postponed.
Right. Okay. So so he was away with under 18s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's
a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah. He was a QU too, and he saved my penalty. He got into my head, basically.
I think Moran will edge it, because you just don't, like with St John's at the minute, you don't know what you're going to get with them. And I think if they are missing a few, and Moran are fighting for their life, I think.
Could be big 3 points for Dave Drew's men on Saturday then. Mm-hmm. Douglas Rovers, Douglas Athletic, Royal, rock bottom at the moment, in the division, sole ejector seat. Can they get anything out of this for Douglas Athletic?
No, it's been interesting seeing Douglas Athletic play, because they just started so well, didn't they? And then dwindle a bit against the bigger teams, but I think Douglas Athletic will be comfortable with Dougie Rose, certainly.
Yeah, I think Douglas Athletic, they started well, and the bubbles burst a little bit, but with the players they've got, if they've got a full court of players as well, I think they'll win.
Dave,
it's hard to disagree with that. I think I don't know whether Wolfie and that are going to be playing, but the bright spot for Dougie Royals with Terry McGough, he's been a good player for them when he's been on. So they'll probably be looking to him to cause a few problems. But I think Athletic will be too strong.
I hope Douglas Athletic backline don't take much offence to this comment, but they're not the speediest of chaps, are they? So McGough could have a bit of joy there. But yeah, I think that the smart money would be on an away win in that one. Russian United versus Laxey. Russian ticking along, started there. Creeping back up the table, up into fourth. Now I know a few of the teams haven't played in recent weeks with postponements and such like, but they're the ones to watch, aren't they?
Creeping back into the top five, we'd say. And they've been bolstered by Dan Hattersley by the looks of it. They're going to score goals. Quite comfortably, I think they'll beat Laxey.
Laxey.
And continue to do well. Yeah.
Laxey, shadow that's for himself, sadly. Chris, they're struggling at the moment. I think, what was it, they've conceded, Dave, over 20, 30 goals in the last few games. They've taken some absolute pastings recently. And they're only a young side as well. It's difficult to pick yourself back up.
You don't want to criticise, because they are a young side and they've got some promising young players. So it's difficult to watch a team with young players like that struggle so much. And they have got good young players.
But they will improve for the experience.
They will do. They will do. Whether they stay up or not, I'm not quite sure. But coming up against Russian on the weekend, and you've just played Peel the previous week, and
it's a bit of a daunting task, isn't it? Yeah, blow
for
blow as a boxer, isn't it? You're on the ropes. It does look like a straightforward. Russian, obviously, traditionally strong at home as well, with the Wailing Wall and like. It's not a nice place to travel to, is it?
No.
The Wailing Wall, is that Liam Callan?
It'll be him soon, anyway.
Yeah, well, good. I hope Liam might be back. He's obviously been away.
Oh, he's sunning himself. He likes a holiday, Liam, doesn't he?
I believe he's at the other Liam's wedding as well, I think. Last week, it's probably just as well the under-18s had a fixture because half of Manx football were away. But yeah, Gareth Jones was in charge, looked to be in charge last week.
Oh, you enjoyed a certain moment?
Yes, so Gareth, what a man he is. There was a James Rice, the St John's goalkeeper, I think this is what happened, but he absolutely leathered a goal kick and it just caught in the wind. It was going out, looked like it was heading for the back of the car park on the left-hand side of St John's pitch. Gareth just sticks up two hands, takes the ball down calmly, and then throws the ball back. It was unbelievable. If it was a goalkeeper, you would have been like, Gareth.
He's just one of them people that's good at everything.
Right, looking at JCK Division 2, they have the full complement of 6 games this weekend. There's some big games in the Division 2 this weekend, isn't there, Dave?
Yeah, especially the battle for top 4 and possible promotion. We've got Foxdale v Ramsey's, where Hattie's going to go, isn't he?
Yeah.
This one's going to be tough, could go either way. I think Foxdale start as favourites, though. They go into it in good form.
John Roberts against his former club, of course.
A bit of added spice in there. But, Ramsey, though, they go into it in good form. They thrashed Jim's 7-0 last week, so they'll be up for this one.
Yeah, JR taking over at Foxdale seems to be doing a good job.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. I the previous manager, Robbie Jack, I didn't think they could progress after what a sterling job he did. But they seem to have come back to form, yeah. I fancy Ramsey though for this one.
Right, okay. Right. Andy Perry. He sat out last week, apparently. So,
did he?
Yeah, and they kept a clean sheet of everything goal, so he could be struggling to get back in the side.
I fancy Ramsey. They seem to have picked up a good run of form lately, so...
Obviously, Foxdale on your old patch, QE2, the under-18s, the Ultras.
Yeah, they seem to be picking up a bit of a wave with all those players. But no, they're doing good. So I'm probably going to go with Foxdale on this one.
I think Dave reads the weather, may give an indication to whether this game is on, of course, because notorious Billy Boat Park.
Well, yeah.
I'd love to play there again.
We had a game called off at half time at Billy Boat Park.
Did you?
Yeah. Because of the rain. Just because it was so bad. It probably should have started, but everyone decided we'll play it. And we were, the referee coming at half time, he said, "Listen, lads, we can't carry on. It just got too bad." And it was that wet, that cold. We had to get in the shower with our kit on. It was so cold, and it was the best decision ever. To the Baltic for sausage and chips.
You know that advert where the players are warming up in the car?
Yeah.
Every time I see it, it reminds me of Fox.
Yeah. It does.
Well, that one could go either way, and choose the Hattie's tweets and the multimedia extravaganza throughout the day because that one, as I say, could go either way. I reckon that'll be a draw. I'm going to sit on the fence.
I'm sitting on the fence with that one.
Oh, not the fence, the slightly mounded hedge up at Foxdale. Colby versus Paul Rose. Paulie, Steedo's made the transition into managing nicely, hasn't he, Chris?
He made the transition. He came up with a plan for his transfers. You couldn't sign unless you're under 5'2". He asked me, but I was too tall. So we pulled in Rob Slinger, the goalkeeper. I believe I've got to give him his booster seat back, and if I don't before tomorrow's game, they've got no chance. Because he's going to need it, because when he stands in goal, he looks tiny. They've done well, but actually, Steve's done a decent job. And I know that, again, he's had to get them playing with a group of young lads, which is what he looked forward to. I was speaking to him quite a bit, and he was looking forward to the challenge. Yeah, they seem to have done well.
Some great young talents there. Owen Quayle seems he's a Division 2 veteran now, but he must be only about 19, 20.
They've got, obviously, them young lads. You only got to look at, like, Mark and Steve himself.
Yeah.
You know,
is Steve still playing, or is he?
Yeah, he's just come back from injury, hasn't he?
He's come back from injury. He's always injured. He's always got a sore back. Dad works him too hard. you didn't have to look at him and Marky to see, you know, the level that they can take them to.
Steedo started against Duncan last week, which was only his second start of the season. Got a hat-trick within about 20 minutes or something. Last week, they thrashed Michael 8-0 and 8 different scorers in that game. So it shows you that it's a good team there. So
can Colby get anything out of this? No, Cobbie have turned a bit of corner in recent weeks. Obviously, I spoke to Stez on the terrace. It all happens on the terrace, boys. On Sunday, and he'd had a... I think he hit the post, didn't he?
Yeah, I watched that game against Millie last week. They were a little bit unlucky in some ways. They started off really well. Then they went 1-0 down, and then Ashley Blake, well, the red mist descended, and he kicked out an opponent. Don't know why, but... Yes, after that, it was a bit of an uphill task. But the second half, they battled well, and there's a lot of encouraging signs there for them.
Well, more you talk about Ashley Blake's return from Russia, Carl Hickey's return from Balloon.
Yeah.
Fred, he's getting the band back together, isn't he?
He is, and you know, if they can just keep together as a unit, then they will definitely climb up the table.
They look more of a team that were in the Premier League last season than they did at the start of the season. So this is not going to be a walk in the park for Pulley, but this is the game you have to win if you want to win things, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely, and Paul Rose will be favourites.
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
they will win tomorrow.
Exposed down there as well, isn't it? So wrap up warm, Steve. Youthy versus Ayr, the first of a flurry of Northern derbies in the next few weeks. Youthy just chipping away, aren't they, at the top of the table? Ray Leach's Barmy Army.
Yeah, they're sitting pretty at the top. They're a free scoring form. You've got Steve Gross, Jason Crane, all those boys are in good form. I think they'll probably prove a bit too strong for Ayr, but Ayr put up a decent fight against Foxdale last week, so it won't be a pushover.
You see, unbeaten, aren't they?
Yeah.
I question it, but I think I know it's
true.
What are the yo-yo teams, aren't they, Chris?
It is a yo-yo team. It seems to be a bit of a yo-yo between players and clubs up in the north, doesn't it, all the time? I've never understood it, to be honest, but...
Different culture up there,
right? Yeah, you see are strong.
Can we see Andy Perry turning out for Ayr and...
I don't think Andy's ever going to venture that far. If he's up north, he's with Andy,
isn't he? His dad would like
I know some of the players at UC and they seem too strong for that league. Mm. But for some reason, they do have this yo-yo effect where, you know, they'll win one week and then the next they'll just get a surprise defeat or they'll draw a game. But like I said... Johnny London, stuff like that playing. We had John London, he was a cracking player, brilliant for us.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for us, he couldn't stay, but with him, someone like him in your team, you've always got a chance.
Ayr United, Perot, is there any? Can you raise your game for a derby, don't you?
It'll be a bit more feisty, I can imagine. But the way Ramsey Youth Centre are going, I can imagine them to take
it. Is Agent Rashid writing his
report?
I think Agent Rashid might be down doing tweets. I'm not sure about that. And I know he's a busy man at the moment. Who was he trying to get on the... Dan Hattersley was trying to get on the books the other week. And he's always working.
Looking out for new clients. So
he's always looking out for new clients. He was trying to get Brido the other week, wasn't he? I think.
That was getting to his head.
So he's always about...
What's he going to do with Brido? I don't know. He's obviously got something in mind for him. We're going to have to get him in the gym.
Public speaking. Public speaking or something. Right. But Jim's versus Maluno. Jim's took a bit of a pacing last week after we talked them up in the podcast, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they were a couple of players short in that one. But
Barry Harding back in the...
This is a standing joke at work. I work with Mark Connor
right.
and Gaz Gorn.
Okay.
And Gaz made a return the other week.
Right.
Combi.
Okay.
We didn't have a game. I drove past and I thought, that looks like Gaz. And then lo and behold, I spoke to him. He said, yeah, I played. He said, no, I'll never play again. That was terrible. But I thought they were trying to get the band back together because we had Mark and Barry at St. George's. Yeah. And Mark said, I can't really commit to training. I'm going to go back to gyms. Well, he didn't actually say it. He just did it and then decided to not tell anybody. And Gaz told me that he'd gone back. Then the next minute, Barry Harden's done the same. And we train at Bemahaig on a Monday.
Before
and they train before us. And the last four training sessions that I've been at of Bemahaig, they've been there. So for two people that can't commit to training and playing, they've been at the last few sessions for gyms. But when they went back, and if you've got someone like Mark playing, he's too good for that league.
Mm.
He never really wanted to play first team football. He's happy to do what he does. And you've got someone like Barry as well. When I realised that they'd gone back, I thought, Jim's, we might have a bit of a push here. And we said to Sparky at work, you might go up here. And the next week, they got B7-0.
So what you're saying is, Mark doesn't fancy the Premier League, is that
right? Yeah, he doesn't fancy it. No, I said, what are you going to do if you go up, Mark?
But they're playing in the Malou team that are slowly getting back to the form they showed at the start of the season, aren't they?
Yeah, Daniel Thurwell played well last week for them, Josh Clark. You know, they've got a good team there. They just need to keep it together, keep pulling in the same direction. There won't be any shortage of goals in this game, I don't think. But obviously, Tony Sewell will be hoping to bounce back a little bit after that hammer.
Talk about Daniel Kinley. Dean Kinley. He's gone from goal scorer to goalkeeper, hasn't he?
Yeah, he played pretty well last week as well. He's still the booming voice. He likes to argue with everyone in the back there. But
is he Neuer-esque? Is he trying to play it out from the back?
He is a little bit, yeah. But you know, he's a very good player on his day, Dean. And I think it gives them a bit of a different dimension all over the pitch there. And I think they've got quite a nice, well-rounded team. And they probably will be a bit too strong for James this week. If the game goes ahead.
Who's on shift? Obviously, your watch are on shift Saturdays now.
Yeah, I think Mark's working, actually. Oh. I don't know about Barry, but I think Mark might be working.
Right, okay. It's a bit of inside team news there.
So. The thing you say, it's either one or the other can get Saturdays off. I've got in there first. So I think Mark might have to work. So right. I fancy Malou for that one.
Malou?
I agree. Yeah. Malou. Yeah, Jim's missing quite a few players. I can hear.
Douglas and District versus Governors Athletic. Governors scrambling around at the bottom now. This looks like a home win to me at Nobles Park for D&D, but can Governors pick up a rare point or three?
Well, they were targeted this game at the start of the season as one of the ones they can get some points from, but D&D are 9 points clear of them at the moment, and they're doing okay, so I think it should be a home win in this one.
Sam, Big Sam in the newsroom, Ragabone Sam, has described Governors as he occasionally turns out for the combi, doesn't he?
Occasionally,
when he can be bothered.
Mostly just to drink tea on the bench.
Yeah, he says Governors Athletic are a bit like the Les Dawson of Manx football. they play all the right kick notes, but not necessarily in the right order. Yeah. So, he says that they're just on the cusp of something special, aren't they? But
yeah,
they get great numbers for training.
Yeah, I was about to say, like 100 streams. Yeah.
You look at our side of the pitch at Bemhegan, we've got 12. They've got 22, yeah. 30, haven't they, near
yeah.
enough?
Yeah, yeah.
They get great numbers.
Yeah.
Anyone catching your eye on the opposite pitch? You know?
I think they've spent most of their time kicking the ball back to our side. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to get annoyed soon because we turn the goals around. For some reason, we play the end-to-end where we're kicking the ball into their training session. They're forever kicking it back. They're going to get annoyed soon enough. But yeah, they get some great numbers.
So do you think D&D win or can Governors? Yeah. Got lads, do you reckon Governors maybe get a point out of this one?
No.
Brutal honesty.
Yeah, D&D.
D&D.
Yeah.
Final game in JCK Division 2 sees Onken make the trip to the blowiest of blowy Blair Road for a game they need to win, really, to keep in that Paul Henry Gold Cup chase, don't they?
Yeah, they're getting cut adrift slightly now. They can't really afford any more drop points. So, yeah, they should win this one fairly comfortably, but as we know, conditions could play a big part up there. Michael go into it on the back of that heavy defeat to Pulley, so you know they'll be hoping for an improved performance.
They have signed a raft of players this week.
They have, so it'll be interesting to see what team turns.
Yeah, including one and the only Railway Cup semi-final legend, Tony Duggan, has signed for Michael this week. Yeah.
So. Oh, is that because Nick Hurt's playing as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So yeah, there's potential to pick. And they picked up a few other. I must admit, I didn't recognise any of the names that were tweeted earlier this week on the Aces' official Michael United account. But this may be a bit stronger than expected.
Yeah, they added strength and depth to more competition places, isn't it? So, you know, it can only have a positive effect, hopefully.
Away win?
Yeah, I think so.
I'd agree.
Yeah, a big win. Right, Dave, time for my favourite part of the week, Combi Corner.
I thought it was Dave Reed to the Weather Vision.
I like both equally. It's like when you have two kids, you can't favour one. Can you, Chris?
No, you definitely can't.
Good answer. There's certainly no shortage of goals in the Combi Leagues last Saturday. 33 was scored in Combi 1 alone. There's only four games that went ahead. It's pretty good. Morale were the biggest winners. They hammered Castletown 13-0. And one of your favourite players, the evergreen Duan Killip.
Kipper. He must have had 80 goals this season.
Yeah, and Tom Hughes, they both got hat-tricks.
Not bad for a man that only plays 60 minutes, is it?
It's not bad, yeah. So, goal every 20 minutes. hat-tricks for the order of the day. Peel were also in ruthless form. They thrashed Laxey 9-0. Aaron Castain got a hat-trick in that one. And Danny Lace, he also got two goals. Still rolling
still
back.
Plucking away.
That's it.
Still closing in on his 1,000th appearance, Peel, probably.
Nathan Horsall got a hat-trick for St Mary's. They beat Royal 6-0. That was their 14th win in a row this season. It leaves them 8 points clear, so they're romping to that league. And Rushen defeated St John's 5-0, so it was a good day off for the Spaniards. Union Mills closed the gap with Combi 2 leaders Onken after edging past D&D in an 8-goal thriller. Luke Booth also got a hat-trick.
You'd think he'd be knocking on the first team door selectors, wouldn't you?
You think so, wouldn't you? But I think he's leading the way. He must be past 20 goals now for the season in the Combi.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Malou moved level on points with third place Ramsey after they beat Colby 4-1, while the Northerners were held to a 2-all draw at Jim's. That scoreline was repeated at Billy Goat Park, where Foxdale drew 2-2 over there, while Youthy brushed aside Governors 5-1 and Pulley edged past Michael in another 8-goal thriller.
Entertaining as always, David. Now, day reads the weather. The boys are gagging to know what's going to happen this week.
You know, it doesn't look too bad outside now.
Well, we don't care about now, we care about the weekend, Dave.
All right. Despite Storm Diana, it is due to get a bit better. It's mostly dry tonight with only a few isolated showers. Tomorrow's going to be bright with a few more blustery showers, but Saturday's going to be a little bit rainy at first, but it will clear in the afternoon. So it just depends what damage is.
What's your spidey senses saying about postponements?
I reckon 40% will be called off.
40%? He's very accurate, you know, Guru. One time in three gets it right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do it three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're saying 40, I'm saying 40.
Oh, God.
40%, yeah.
Just before we go, yeah. I'd like to try and advertise a little something that me and my tutor are doing.
Okay.
So what it is, and I've been speaking to other clubs for quite a while now, but my tutor have helped guide me in a direction. It's to try and get used boots to Nigeria.
Great stuff.
So obviously the football clubs and most players have old pairs of boots. I don't know if they'd like to be able to gather it as a club or just give it to me whenever we play. Yeah, exactly. And with a little donation so we can get it sent out. And I've got, because I used to play football out there, I've got friends that still play football or coach and distribute it out to the youngsters out there.
Yeah. How's best for them to get in touch with you?
Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
Twitter. And when I turn up to play against them. Boots or Astros.
You're leaving yourself up to question here because you did famously forget your boots to a game.
Chris on the head.
So, in a number of times I've nearly done that again.
You moved to Douglas, signed for St George's, and went to play against Russian.
Yeah.
At Russian and forgot your boots. Yeah. You only realised when you got down there, didn't you?
Yeah, and I saw you. I was like,
Very well. Was that the 4-0 defeat?
4-0 defeat, yeah. You shouldn't have come back.
Anyway, it's called Ballard Boots, and if you could, yeah.
And so is there a Facebook page or anything?
We're trying to produce that at the moment.
Okay,
so,
Ballard Boots. Anyone that's got any old boots that you want? Any sizes?
Any sizes.
Kids as well.
Yeah. Predominantly kids, but or any sizes. And a donation of £1 per boot.
And do you want Chris to sign his for a bit of extra
value? Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing. If you put your name in it, you could even get a message sent back.
That's a good idea.
Really good. Well, I'll have a dig around at home. I have my old rugby boots somewhere.
Yeah, I haven't played football for years, but I think I've still got some boots in the house. So.
I'm sure it's a football.
All rugby boots, I'm not picky.
I think they are football
straight
away. We often discuss the zenith of my footballing career was with St John's under 14s and never getting off the bench as a goalkeeper. But also the time, do you remember in year 7, Chris, we were playing in a playground at school at Park Road, and I flattened you by pure accident because I had all the skill and dexterity of a mountain goat. And the uproar that was caused because I'd injured the Alamans best player at 11. I couldn't go to school for 2 days. You fell over, but you were all right. But people were coming up to me, you've ruined Chris's career.
Yeah.
So I took it personally. Yeah. This is part of the process, you know, the closure on it. I thought I'd ruined your professional career at the age of 11. There's a lot to take on at that age, you know.
You might have ruined my rugby career. I played one rugby game for the school. They said you had to play rugby to play football. I played one rugby game up at Ramsey, and they said to me, you don't need to play. You don't need to play.
Well, we both had run-ins with Chris, because one of my personal highlights...
Oh, yes, forgot about this. We heard about this one for
A few years ago, down at Glen Road, Geordies v Laxey, and I think you guys won 3-0, and you were competing with someone for the ball. It was coming towards me on the touchline. I was just stood there with my notepad, and you were absolutely steaming along, and the ball got cleared down the line, but you basically couldn't stop. Your momentum took you into me, and you headbutted my knee, and we both went off. We both went flying. And I ended up running into you in, I think it was Colours, about 3 days later on a Saturday night, or whatever it was. And
You're showing your age there, Dave. Colours. You're a Chinese restaurant now.
You had a black eye from there. So,
Your dad wouldn't speak to Dave. Do any post-match interviews? There's a media blackout for months after that.
It's not my dad you have to worry about. It's my granddad, George.
He charges double that week.
He's been known to have a few run-ins with people around the ground. What a character.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. I really enjoyed today. Yeah, good luck on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Cheers, guys.
I hope you do the Ball of Boots thing goes well for Europa. Please let us know how it goes and we'll do our best to get it promoted on social media.
Awesome.
Remember, you can listen to all the back catalogue, which includes now over 70 we've done of these, haven't it?
I just can't believe it.
Including the previous episode was through, which is a Friday night special, if I remember correctly. He was lurking around the side of the building for a while.
Lurking.
And they were at audioboom.com/channel/maxfootball on the iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and Google Podcasts.
Wonderful. Well done, mate.
You haven't opened the tea cakes.
No, we haven't opened the tea cakes.
It's going to happen now.
We'll
enjoy. Share them around the office.
Oh, cheers, Chris. Until next week.
Just half an hour.